A judge has forced Google to open up the Play Store to competitors for 3 years. Plus, Steam has already complied with the new California law regarding purchase messaging. Tonight is October 13th, 2024, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Twitch math is weird. Thank you so much to people who resubscribed during the intro. Twitch math is weird. I know that people who have resubscribed, we'll read their names at the end. They've been around for a lot longer than what Twitch says. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a non-emergency edition, because it is episode 911. No emergency, non-emergency edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on this Sunday night, Sunday the 13th, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do tape this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. But I know that this is a podcast, so you can join our Discord server and actually suggest articles that you want to talk about here on the show over on Discord. VogNetwork.com/Discord will get you the invite into our server. It is a very low traffic server, low ping, stuff like that. So feel free to join us. It's not if you have a Discord room for that. So I want to mention, I mentioned something last week that an event was going on, and I just mentioned that it was happening, and then it turns out that I then got roped into appearing once on this event. So as probably some of you know, and if you don't, you must be a newer listener to the show, so welcome. Thank you so much for being here and finding me. But I have been fortunate enough to be affiliated somewhat and working with the Games Done Quick organization, charity speedrunning marathons, and I've been a host for about 4 years, and hopefully that'll continue. We re-audition every time. I don't know if I'm going to be back. It all depends on the audition, which is actually that process is going on now, so I won't know for another month or two if I'm going to be back doing that. But this weekend, and actually right now, they are doing a impromptu marathon to help hurricane victims here in the Southeast. I live in the Southeastern U.S. I live in Atlanta. We were not affected by the hurricanes, but a lot of people that I know, including some loved ones, actually were. And GDQ is working with Direct Relief, that charity organization, and they are doing a three-day, basically a weekend marathon. And they're using, for the position that I filled at previous GDQs, they're using like in-house staff that are actually paid, that used to do the job. So they didn't need to go out and get outside help for working the event. So that's why I wasn't officially involved or anything like that. But I got contacted on like Wednesday night or maybe Tuesday night by one of the other hosts. He's even been in our chat room every once in a while. Usually right after a GDQ, he comes in and hangs out for the first episode back. He goes by Atitri. And fun fact, he is also credited in the Guinness Book of World Records Gamers Edition 2025 because he took the picture that they used when they talk about Games Done Quick in the same book that Orange Lounge Radio is in. So he's also in the photography credits. It's a couple pages after OLR's, but he contacted me. He's like, "Hey, do you want to be on the couch for my," or at first he asked, "Do you have a love or affinity to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?" That was his first question. And the honest answer is not really, but I'm really good at faking things. So I said, "Well, I'm not a super fan or anything like that. I watched it as a kid because we all did." Basically, when I was of the age of being teenage during TMNT. So, but I'm not like a super fan or anything, but like, I mean, I remember them. I didn't collect the toys or anything. I didn't really watch much of it at the time. I did see the first movie in theaters. I have a VHS copy of the first movie. I was not kind to myself. It is not rewound. I pulled it out and I'm like, oh, I didn't rewind this the last time I watched it. Oh, well. So he asked me that. So I said, I mean, I'm not a super fan, but I'm like, I know it and everything. And he's like, well, you want to be on the couch, which is, that is speedrun terminology for being on commentary. Even if there is no actual couch, it's called the couch because originally the commentator sat on a couch behind the runner. Now at GDQ, they sit in chairs. They did like a social distancing thing and just never went back to having a couch. But even online, they call it you're on the couch. So I got invited to do commentary for a co-op run of TMNT Shredder's Revenge, which is the game that came out 2 years ago. And it was run by Atitree and Douglas Bravo. And I was very fortunate enough to be on there. And not only was I on it, but the other person that was on the couch was a man by the name of Sean Guernsey. Now, Sean Guernsey is a voice actor, and he actually does use the term voice actor. I didn't get into that with him, but he uses the term voice actor, but he did the voices in, I think he did like 13 different voices in this game, including like half of the bosses. He is also Splinter. The turtles, the four main turtles, were actually voiced by the people that do the cartoons, so he couldn't do any of those. But he is also the voice of one of the newer characters that they were playing, and they were actually playing as the two new DLC characters that dropped 2 weeks ago, Mona and Mondo. And they did a co-op run of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, and during the run, I basically put on my commentator hat, or not my commentator, my convention hat, right? So I moderate panels at conventions with voice actors. And so during some of the times when there was not that much tech, speed tech to talk about, and honestly, there aren't as many donations for an event like this than there are at a mainline GDQ, I'd be like, so Sean, tell me about the process that you went through to make some of these characters who are iconic. How did you make them your own instead of just copying the original? And actually doing kind of a convention panel slash interview with Sean Guernsey about his approach to voice acting for TMNT, the use of improv in voice acting and where that's great and where that works out. And also he did a lot of the voices. So I would actually then we did a whole bit like after one of the bosses that he voiced was defeated by the turtles, I would show up as a reporter from Channel 6 News asking him for a comment on, you know, about after the turtles beat him, and he would answer in the voice as the character. So we had a lot of fun with it. We raised a couple thousand, I think we raised about $1,000. And like I said, this is a lower, this is not a GDQ. They're not making millions of dollars on this thing. But they we raised like $1,000, I believe, during this run. And it was a lot of fun. And if you want some Turtles lore, Atitree was running with Douglas Bravo. And Douglas Bravo is a super fan. He knows everything about every character. He knows everything that, because they're not all people, are they? Everything that a character has dated. Because Mona Lisa, which is one of the characters here, dates Raphael right now, but also dated someone else, and I don't remember who it was. But I got the whole family tree. And he also knows, like, all of the damage numbers. There's, like, all these numbers that he wanted to spit out that because, like, Mona's special can do 42 or more damage where everybody else's does, like, 10 or something like that. So he was able to bring in some, like, deep lore about things like the tenderizer. And, like, you know, why it was supposed to be a toy, but it didn't happen and stuff like that. And he kind of went into some of that. So he has, like, a lot of the, you know, he's got, like, a turtle shrine. I didn't get to see it, but I'm pretty sure he's got a turtle shrine. He was showing off in one of our practices. He was showing off some of the stuff that he had just recently gotten. So it's a very fun run. It's interesting. There was a tech hiccup. He lost Douglas Bravo lost internet. Krang got his internet. So we had to pause for like 5 minutes or so. And then we came back in and continued right where we were left off. And the run went for about an hour at 3 a.m. on Friday night. So if you didn't see it, no worries. It is up on Twitch. Tigerclaw found a link, put it in our general channel on our vognetwork.com/discord. Probably in the next week or two, it'll be uploaded to Games Done Quick's YouTube channel, and then I will put a link to that so you can find it on YouTube. And it's my first time. It's my second time doing couch commentary, first time on the GDQ stage. So I still got to be hang out in the GDQ. They do like their own private Discord server for each event. And I got to be backstage a little bit there just as a commentator this time instead of actually somebody that's working the event. As Jerry Matt says, yeah, the Foot Clan took out the internet. We actually blame Krang, and the voice actor who he voiced Krang was one of the ones that he voice act actually, you know, talked about taking out his internet as Krang. So it was great. It was a lot of fun. And so thank you to Atitri for inviting me on such last minute. I went down and even like replayed part of the game so I could like get a handle on it because it's on Game Pass. And I played it when it first came out, and I hadn't played it since. And, you know, I got to learn some stuff about the game so I could actually be a good commentator for it. And we had a lot of fun. And so I am glad that I was able to act like I was the TMNT superfan for an hour. But I got some good stuff out of Sean about, you know, being a voice actor and, you know, being a fan of the he was a fan of the Turtles as a kid. And so, you know, we talked about what his reaction was when he was able to audition for the part, and then he got 13 callbacks instead of just one. He really wanted to audition for one of the actual Turtles, but they used the main voice actors. So it was a lot of fun. And it's also very informative if you want to hear about voice actors. So I think it went really, really well. Before we get into the news, I haven't told anybody about this yet. Y'all are the first to know about this. And I am wondering, like, you know, I don't think Dark Soccer is in yet, because this is something that I never expected that I would get. Dark Soccer probably already has this, but it is not shiny because it's old. But somebody that I'm mutuals with on social media is going through some rough time right now. And needed some money. So unfortunately, they were getting rid of some of their game collection, which is always a sad thing. And I saw one of the things that he had up, and I was like, yeah, I'll take that. So I don't have it all right in front of me because it is pretty big. But I will show some of what it is. And I'm uncording, for people on the podcast, there's ASMR going. I'm uncording a controller that actually has, and so the people on Twitch can probably see what it might say on the controller there. Once they see it, I will then tell you on the podcast what it says is that I finally have one of the consoles that I wanted and never got. And so I got myself a well-loved, modded, with an RGB mod, Philips CDI. It came with a controller. It came with this little remote thing as well that's a CDI remote. And, yeah. And Mike Def says, now you can play those Nintendo and Philips games. And it came with, so it's RGB modded. Because he used it for stream. You could he's even been on Games Done Quick with this exact console. But I also got his game collection, which is funny because I haven't actually pulled it out of the wrapping yet. I was going to like do that. Like, I didn't know if I was going to do it like on a TikTok or anything like that. But so I haven't actually unboxed all these games yet. So we're going to do that right now. Now, some of these are authentic. And some of these are repros, and I do know, and he did tell me which one of these were repros and which ones were authentic. But here is Link Faces of Evil, and I believe this is a reproduction. I believe this one's the reproduction cartridge, but I do have Link Faces of Evil. And then I have here, and then this is the other one. So I have both. He did a very good job packing these. Let's see. Oh, here's Space Ace for the Philips CDI. And then there it is. Here's Wand of Gamelon, Zelda Wand of Gamelon. I believe this is legit. The Wand of Gamelon, I believe, is legit. Faces of Evil, I believe, is the one that's a repro. What else does he have in here? There's more. So we have, Rocky, which is the movie Rocky that you could play. Here is Zelda's Adventure. So we have those. And let's see here. We got some more in here. What's this? So this is what most of the money went for, I think. We have Namco Arcade Classics. There's Pac-Man on the front here. We have International Tennis Open. It's two-player. I only have one controller, though. And then the last one in here. Demonstration disc, not for resale, Zelda's Adventure. I don't know what this is. Zelda the Wand of Gamelon. So I'm wondering if these are Link the Faces of Evil, which I think these are like demo discs. So it's not the full game, it's the demo. And then demo disc for Hotel Mario. No clue what it is. So I now have a CDI, and I have a bunch of games, and the CDI has been modded to make it easier to stream. It apparently does have like a little issue with like the disc opening and the disc drive opening or something, so you kind of have to force it open. He gave me the actual part that broke, so if I wanted to try to fix it, I could. But so I'm kind of excited to finally get a CDI in my collection. And so it really sucks, and I know that he feels bad that he had to give up his collection, but things aren't going so well for him. And I was like, you know what, you can have visitation rights if you're ever in Atlanta. He's up in Washington. I was like, you can have visitation rights. Like, we'll have a Hotel Mario party if I'm ever in Atlanta. Tiger Glass, are you going to stream the games? I might actually do a stream where I'm learning these games for the first time, because I've never played these before. I've seen them played, but I've never seen them, or I've never played them myself, and I know that they're extremely, extremely, extremely hard, especially the Zelda ones. They are not easy games. So, so I am very glad that I got to help somebody in need. I am also going to, this is going to be kind of, I don't want to call them out on the podcast who it is, but I will give everybody on Twitch a hint as to who it is that I purchased this from. And so Twitch, that's a Twitch only thing. I don't want to call them out on the podcast, on Twitch, I am telling everybody exactly who it was that I purchased these from. So that's what I get to play with at some point. But I got real busy. Like, that, I got this, and that was when all the disaster relief done quick stuff happened. I haven't even really played Metaphor ReFantazio. I did purchase it, and I played like an hour or two of it. And but I've just been doing so much other things. Anyway, let's go and get into the news. We're 20 minutes into the show, and I haven't talked about the news yet. So this is kind of a follow-up from last year, or for last week. God, what is time? We talked last week about a new law coming into effect very soon in California. Well, one company is actually already complying with it today. Ars Technica reports that Valve, seemingly to comply with a new California law targeting false advertising of digital goods, has added language to its checkout page to confirm that thinking. It says, quote, a purchase of digital product grants a license for the product on Steam, unquote. That this is what the Steam cart now tells the customers, with a link to the Steam subscriber agreement further below. California's AB 2426 law, signed by Governor Gavin Newsom on September 26th, excludes subscription-only services, free games, and digital goods that offer permanent offline download to an external storage source to be used without a connection to the internet. In other words, it excludes GOG, good old games. Otherwise, sellers of digital goods cannot use the terms buy, purchase, or relating terms that would confer an unrestricted ownership interest in the digital good. And they must explain conspicuously in plain language that the digital good is a license and linked to term in terms and conditions. So what they actually do is, instead of using the word buy or purchase, the button actually says continue to payment. Because we were asking, like, what are they going to do? What are they going to say to get around the terms? And it basically, Steam is saying it's going to be continue to payment. That is going to be the buy button now. It's going to say continue to payment. Where California goes, everybody else does. And that's kind of how California kind of pushes its muscle around in the consumer space, because it's just easier to do it for everybody than it is to just do it for people who are geolocated inside California. And then you run into the risk that what if somebody is in California, is using a VPN that says they're from elsewhere, and then they see that screen. They are in California. It's against the law. Yes, the user is spoofing their IP to make it look like they're not in California. But they can then say, well, I'm in California and I'm not seeing this. So it's just easier and less hassle if they just change it for everybody. So it is now changed for everybody. And nothing really changed. It's just now they tell you, you are purchasing a license. You are not buying a game. They just now have to tell you that up front. Nothing changed. This is how it's been since the beginning. It's just they kind of put it in as false advertising. So this was actually the story that was brought into our Discord that I wanted to talk about. And this is a landmark ruling, at least for now, in the mobile game space. And IGN reports that the App Store environment just got a little more competitive following a decision by a U.S. judge that will force Google to open up its Play Store to competitors for 3 years. It's Epic Games' latest victory in its 4-year antitrust battle with Google, thanks to the most recent verdict by Judge James Donato in California. Good job, California. Starting in November, Google will have to carry third-party Android apps in the Play Store and grant third-party app stores full access to Google Play's catalogs of apps. Epic won a number of other measures as well. Beginning on November 1st, 2024, for 3 years, Google will no longer be able to pay companies to launch apps first or exclusively through the Play Store. Pay companies so they will not compete with Google Play, require Google Play billing for apps distributed on the Google Play Store, or offer incentives to pre-install Google Play on new devices, among other changes. Google and Epic Games will form a 3-person technical committee chosen jointly by the two companies to review any issues in regards to Google's compliance. Epic Games founder and CEO Tim Sweeney celebrated the verdict on Twitter on Monday, saying, quote, "The Epic Games Store and other app stores are coming to Google Play Store in 2025 in the USA without Google's scare screens and Google's 30% app tax, thanks to the victory in Epic v. Google," unquote. Shares of Google parent company Alphabet sank more than 2% in trading on Monday in the wake of the news. Google, however, announced it will appeal the decision, arguing in a blog post that, quote, "these changes would put consumers' privacy and security at risk, make it harder for developers to promote their apps, and reduce competition on devices," unquote. The company is asking the courts to pause Epic's requested changes pending the appeal. Quote, "ultimately, while these changes presumably satisfy Epic, they will cause a range of unintended consequences that will harm American consumers, developers, and device makers," unquote. Epic originally sued both Google and Apple in August of 2020 after it attempted to get around the storefront's fees by offering a new direct payment system in Fortnite, resulting in the game being yanked off of both app stores. Epic's battle against Apple has been pointedly less successful than the one against Google, with the U.S. Supreme Court declining to hear either side in the antitrust battle earlier this year. So this basically means that an Android device is going to, for 3 years, going to be basically as open as a PC. And that sounds great. And it could be great. It's also going to be very bad for very gullible people, because this now means that you can buy something that hasn't been vetted by some other app store that's not Epic's, because I'm not worried about people buying things from Epic's store. I'm not worried about people buying things from the store we're about to talk about. I'm worried about people buying things from a store we've never heard of that now can run on Android and make themselves look like they're the Play Store, and then they will bring malware in. And it's going to be the uninformed people that sometimes need that, hey, you're about to do something that might not be safe. Now, those unsafe apps are like, oh, good. Google can no longer tell anybody we're unsafe. Let's do this. And there are people that will gravitate to that because, you know, Google's the man. And I don't want to buy things from the man. I'm going to go buy things from this indie shop that looks cool over here. And I'm not talking about gamers. I'm talking about, like, gamers' parents or maybe the gamers' parents' parents. Now that we're getting to that point, they're not going to know the difference. So now Google is not allowed by law to try to protect those people from the malicious people that are going to piggyback on this judgment. And we're going to see a lot more fraud victims as a result of this over time. Now, is Epic going to be is it going to be something from the Epic Store that's going to have this fraud happen? Absolutely not. Epic has quality controls. Epic is safe. Epic Store is safe. The next story I'm talking about, their store will be safe. But this isn't limited to just Epic or Microsoft or other large companies. Anybody now can launch a competing app store. I could launch a competing app store on Google, on the Play Store, and Google would have to allow it without telling people that it might be unsafe, because part of it is they wanted to get rid of the scare screens, that it might be unsafe. And so I can release, and I'm not going to, but I could, if I wanted, release an unsafe app store with malware, and people, and then I could control people's Android devices, because Google is not allowed for 3 years to stop, to even warn customers that what you're downloading may be unsafe. So it sounds great in the short term, but it's only great because we don't think about how it can be abused. We only think about, hey, Epic won against the big multinational corporation Alphabet and they lost 2% of shares and blah, blah, blah. That's what we hear. And that's great. It's great for Epic. It's great for other legitimate app developers. But there are so many illegitimate app developers, and even more now that you don't actually need to know how to write code to make an app. You can just ask one of the 8 million AI bots to write it for you and they'll do it, and it'll be completely insecure, but they don't care about security. They actually just want to get in to your phone, and that's all they need. So they don't need well-written code, and so they can just have ChatGPT write unsafe code, which all true developers know that just what it outputs is not necessarily the safest, most secure thing. It's a great thing to get you started, but people who don't care about being safe or secure, they don't need to have anybody actually writing the code. They'll just have the AI do it, and then they're going to have their own storefront. They get all the money, and Google doesn't get any of it, and Google can't even say, hey, you may not want to go there. Google's not allowed. The other store that I've been mentioning, it's coming in November. We're about to see it. CNBC reports that Microsoft will allow people to buy and play video games through its Xbox app for Android starting in November, the company said on Thursday. The move is an immediate consequence of a U.S. judge ruling on Monday that Google will have to present alternatives to its Google Play App Store on Android devices. In the jury trial, Google lost against Epic Games, which publishes the popular Fortnite. Google said it intends to appeal and request a delay in implementing the decision. It's Sarah Bond, president of Microsoft's Xbox gaming business, said on social media, quote, the court's ruling to open up Google's mobile store in the U.S. will allow for more choice and flexibility, unquote. Microsoft will allow Android users to purchase Xbox games directly from the Xbox app on Android. The statement did not provide information on titles from third parties such as Electronic Arts or Take-Two Interactive. Under the new model, Microsoft will be able to provide titles to gamers on Android without having to give Google a percentage of revenue from in-app purchases. Currently, people can download games to Xbox consoles through the Xbox app for Android, and those who pay for the Netflix-like Game Pass Ultimate subscriptions can stream games from the cloud in a different app. The move indicates that mobile remains a priority for Microsoft. After a landmark antitrust case with the U.S. Justice Department, Microsoft was slow to gain traction with mobile apps, unlike Google and Facebook owner Meta Platforms. During a court hearing last year during its then-planned acquisition of game publisher Activision Blizzard, Phil Spencer, Microsoft's CEO of gaming, said in a court hearing that if the Xbox business was going to become more relevant, it would need mobile customers. 3 months later, in October 2023, Microsoft completed the Activision acquisition for $75.4 billion, which included King, which is a mobile developer, by the way. Everybody says Activision Blizzard. It's actually Activision Blizzard King. Epic Games provides a store for Android apps that users download from the privately held company's website. Some games in the store support in-app purchases. Bond did not announce plans for a similar move by Microsoft for Apple's iOS devices. In March, the U.S. Justice Department filed an antitrust case against Apple that said limiting distribution to the App Store gives the company monopoly power. Currently, users with Game Pass Ultimate subscriptions can stream games through Apple and Google web browsers on the iPhone or the iPad. So, we are getting, very soon, we are getting at least the Xbox. You can buy Xbox games and stream them to your device directly from an Android device, which you could not do because you had to do it through the Play Store, and Microsoft didn't want to have to deal with the hassle because Google demanded, I can't remember if it was Google or Apple, but one of them demanded, like, you have to, like, have each specific streamed game go through our security process. You have to submit them individually, and we have to vet them individually, and then we take a 30% of the cut and all that stuff. So this gets around it for Google. Not sure about Apple, but Google is going to be very, the Android devices are going to be very, very open for the next 3 years. So I would say if you are listening to this, just be careful, be cautious, and only go to app stores you trust, because Google can't vet them for you anymore for the next 3 years. Google can't tell you that you're going somewhere unsafe. So in response, a question about the previous story that I had mentioned, E3VL says, what about my $0 receipt for Epic Games? Probably that we were talking about the California law that says you must disclose that you're, you know, go to purchase options and stuff like that. The law in California does not apply to things you receive for free. So they could say, and I think usually even if it's $0, they'll say like get. They wouldn't say buy or purchase. They'd say get. So that doesn't apply to the free stuff that you get. They don't. There's no change in the wording for things that are free. Fifth Dream asks an hour or two about Metaphor ReFantasia, which I purchased and only played for like an hour or so. An hour or two, so half the intro. Did you get to push a button yet? Yes, I did. I actually replayed the beginning. I got just as far as I got in the prologue demo, which is basically getting to the first interior. I'm going to say the first real interior dungeon. So yes, I got through. There's like one section of battle and then an open area and then an interior area. And I don't want to like get in, you know, get more spoiler than that. It's about an hour in, and that's about as far as I got. And E3VL says, if you played the demo, the save carrier is over. And yes, I know that. However, when I realized the naming, what they were asking, I actually flipped what I wanted to name the two different things. So Metaphor ReFantasio first asks what your name is. And they literally are talking about the person looking at them through this magical glass or whatever. And then they ask you to name the character. And then I kind of realized afterwards, I'm like, I actually want to swap what I named them. And so I'm like, well, that involves me starting over. And it's like, okay, I realized this during the demo, and I'm like, I'm only an hour in. I'll just buy the game outright and start over and not carry over my demo save file, because I didn't complete the prologue demo is like 4 hours long or something like that. So I didn't get anywhere near completing that. And It's a very, very, very meaty demo. And yes, even if you don't complete it, you can carry the save over. But I just decided I'm going to start over. And I decided that I was going to rename the characters. And I'm like, I know what I'm doing now. I'm going to enjoy it a little bit more. So I did that. I also learned, and this is interesting, I almost made a video about this. I almost made a TikTok. I almost got back onto TikTok. Or maybe Instagram Reels. I don't know. I was going to make a video about this because I have a PlayStation 5 and I got the PS5 version of the game. And my device, my projector, because I'm playing in my theater downstairs. So I've got a 4K projector. Not a super expensive one. It's 4K. It's like it uses bit shifting, so it's not a true 4K projector. But anyway, I'm trying not to humble brag, but it's kind of important to the story. But anyway, that projector supports 120 hertz. So I have it, you know, it's like automatic in the PS5 settings, about 120 hertz. And so when I launched Metaphor ReFantazio, I noticed that it changed the resolution on the projector because it takes about 4 seconds to get the new resolution. And it was saying, oh, well, I'm in 1080 now. I'm not in 4K. But it's in 1080 at 120 hertz. So if I wanted to play it, and I do, would rather play it in 4K at 60 frames a second, I have to actually go into the PlayStation 5 settings and turn off 120 hertz. No other game that I've played has turned on the 120 hertz setting. I haven't seen it. It's always been 4K at 60 or 2160 at 60. This is the first time I've seen it at 120. I've never seen it do it before, but apparently Metaphor ReFantazio can only do 120 hertz at 1080p. And once again, unfortunate humble brag, since I'm playing on a projector, it's like a 100-foot screen. I would prefer to have the 4K resolution if I can. The Nintendo Switch only does 1080p, and that's fine. I'm cool with that. I know what I'm getting there. But if I'm buying the PS5 version, I'm playing it on PS5, I'd rather have the 4K at 60 frames a second rather than 1080p at 120 frames a second. And you can't set this per game, so I actually have to turn it off. So if anything else is 120 hertz on the PS5, even if it's in 4K, now it doesn't turn it on. It just doesn't go there. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I'm like, why is it going into 1080p? Like, it's supposed to be in 4K. And I can't remember if the demo did that too, but the full version absolutely did. We are going to take a very quick music break, and then we will take some calls, maybe, or we'll talk to Rob at least about some stuff. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show. You're in the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Hi, I'm the Tiger Wizard, or Katie Adkins of D4 and Court on the Macabre, and when I'm not being murdered in a closet, I'm participating in the Bobby Black Wolf Show. Please don't murder me.
Throwback! To back when and too many cooks. That's actually not what she goes by anymore. She doesn't even live in the area anymore. She's got she's out in LA trying to become an actor, and you know, hopefully she makes it. So she doesn't even go by that name anymore. Changed everything. I don't even think she's on those podcasts anymore. So, but that's a bumper, I think, from 2019. We filmed that at Dragon Con 2019. There was actually a question in chat. E3VL asked about if anybody got Nintendo Alarmo. And this is a new alarm clock. Everybody wanted new hardware from Nintendo, right? And they're like, Nintendo, announce your new hardware, which we all were like, it's going to be the Switch successor. No, they gave us an alarm clock. And this is a Wi-Fi-enabled alarm clock with what looks like a round screen. It is not a round screen. It is a square screen. When you actually like hold it up to like the right light, you will see that it is really just a square screen. It's not the whole round thing, but it is a motion sensing alarm clock that you don't actually have to touch. It's a hands-free alarm clock, and it plays music or sound effect music from any of five games right now. There's going to be two more, probably, you know, two more free DLCs. Your alarm clock is going to have DLC. It's an alarm clock with DLC. And it, when you get out of bed, it shuts itself off. And it's cute. It's interesting. It's $100. Now, did I get it? No, because guess what? It doesn't work with. It doesn't work. All that, it does not work with if you are in a bed with more than one person. So people who are married and live together can't really use this clock, or at least not use the motion sensing. You can still use it. You can turn off the motion sensing, and it's the button at the top. But you can't use it for that. And they also recommend that if you have pets sleeping in the bed with you, that you also not use it, because it's not going to work all that well. Because once again, it checks to, it turns off the alarm if it senses that you've gotten out of bed. So if your partner got out of bed, it would shut off. If your dog got out of bed, it would shut off, and then you would sleep through your alarm. And so they it's really only for people who basically, you know, live alone and maybe don't have pets in their bed. So it's cute. It's interesting. It's got it basically like when you move around, it makes noise. And then if you, you know, keep sleeping, like, you know, it gets more aggressive. It starts yelling at you as Bowser and everything like that. So I still have my alarm clock from college. And so I don't need any other alarm. I have that. It goes beep, beep, beep. It's very loud. That I don't need to get the Nintendo alarm clock. But if you live alone and like this type of stuff, more power to you. Hopefully you got it. Hopefully you did get it. Tire Claw says, hopefully the display can turn off at night. Well, I mean, my alarm clock's display doesn't turn off at night, because if I wake up in the middle of the night, I want to see what time it is. I'm sure that you can dim it, but the whole point of having a clock next to my bed is to see what time it is. Also, Fifth Dream had asked, because I talked about Metaphor Riff Fantasio a little bit before. He's like, oh, so you can't stream the game because you docked yourself, because I said I changed what, you know, or I wanted to flip what I named the characters. I actually named me as in the person behind the screen Black Wolf, and I named the character Bobby, and I wanted to flip him. That's what it was. So it's, I used Bobby Black Wolf. It's just now I am Bobby and my character is Black Wolf, whereas it was the other way around, because I didn't really grasp what it was asking the first time. I kind of figured it out, but I was like, maybe not. And then when I like saw where the story was going, I was like, okay, I'm going to flip them. That's what it was. And also, streaming Atlas games has challenges from Atlas. Atlas doesn't really like you streaming their games, especially new release games. So if I was going to stream it, I actually would have gotten the Xbox Play Anywhere version, so I would have it on my PC. And I was streaming from the PC, but I don't have my, I'm not going to bring my PS5 up to my office to stream it. So it's not a game I would stream. It's like I said, it's a very story heavy game. So I'm probably not going to do that. So that was what that was. All right. Anyway, coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio, which is three people out in Sacramento, California, who talk about games for much, much longer than I do. We like to check in with them to see what's going on over there. So, Sacramento, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. There's the button. All right. I'm doing well. Like I said, I got a new toy that...
I saw earlier. Yeah. That's a fun little thing that you got.
Yeah. So, to recap, just because I'm sure there are people that weren't here at the beginning... So somebody that I'm mutuals with on social media that I met through some speed running stuff that I'm not going to name on the air, but I will give hints here on the Twitch channel as to who it is, had to part with some of their gaming collection. And I was like, you know what, I'll take that. And so I am now the proud owner of a RGB modded Philips CDI. And it worked when he sent it. I haven't actually plugged it in yet. And I do have the famous games. I've got the Zelda games and some other stuff. Some are repros. I believe one of them is authentic. The others are known repros. And yeah, so I get to learn CDI. I get to learn. I've never played a CDI before. And so I've never played these games before. And I'm in for a frustrating treat.
Yeah, it's going to be. Yeah, I don't know how well those games played.
They don't play well.
They were very much trying to showcase the video and, you know, some of the things that, you know, CD-ROM technology could do. And yeah, but that's still cool. Like from a collector's perspective, obviously, that's a pretty cool thing to have. So cool.
So, yeah, so I do have the Wand of Gamelon, which I believe this is authentic. I have the Faces of Evil, which is the other Link game. That, I believe, is the repro. I believe this one's the repro. And then there's, like, this Zelda's Adventure as well. And so I don't know. And then there's, like, a tennis game that I got in Namco. I do not have Tetris CDI. As Sharon and Matt mentioned, I heard Tetris CDI is good. I don't have that
one. Yeah, I was going to say Tetris CDI is the one you got to seek out to add to your collection.
Yeah.
That's the one with, like, the very strange waterfalls and the very, like, power ballady 90s type of music. It's pretty wild. Yeah, Zelda's Adventure, if I'm not mistaken, that's the one that's a little more top-down. They tried to make it look more like, because, like, the other Zelda games don't really act like The Legend of Zelda, the original at all. But Zelda's Adventure, they kind of tried to do that on the CDI, but it's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Well, they're all rough.
Yeah. It's true. That was a game you could play as Zelda long before the one that came out a couple weeks ago. So,
And I got a movie. I got Rocky, the actual movie, on CDI.
I never realized they put full movies on CDI. I actually didn't realize that. I mean, of course, I mean, it makes sense. You know, it's like, of course they did. I just never realized they actually did that. That's like movies on PSP.
Yeah.
Forgot that was a thing too.
But, yeah, and I think I have Spider-Man on PSP. I do think that's the movie I have, just to be the nostalgic thing. And then I've got some demo discs, including Hotel Mario, which I don't know anything about, but I didn't do that much research yet. But
one looks like a Mario game. Like they got the graphics a lot more on par, but I think it's a bit of like a puzzler. It's not like a platformer. Because I don't think the CDI was able to handle those types of graphics.
The Wand of Gamelon and Faces of Evil, those are platformers, but they're real difficult to control.
Yeah. So, like, and I think Hotel Mario kind of falls in a similar bucket. Yeah.
So, So I'm excited, and I got a little remote. I guess this is for this remote is to control. I guess maybe Space Ace, because I got Space Ace, so maybe you'd play that with this.
Yep, I'm sure.
I
appreciate SG100 Matt's comment saying about Tetris CDI, saying it's no acid Tetris, though. That had a banger soundtrack. Yes.
Yeah.
Which, sadly, officially not a part of the Tetris Forever collection, it appears. We got the list of what's coming up in the Tetris Forever collection, and it turns out no acid Tetris. No. So no royalty kickbacks for any Black Wolf.
Yeah, I know.
I
didn't even get paid for the original, like, you know, because it was freeware. Like, nobody got paid for that. Like, that was just like it went out there for free.
Exposure. No, you were paid in exposure.
I was. And at that time, I thought that was a good thing. It did get me my credit on Moby Games. So that is how I am on the IMDb of video games is from Acid Tetris. It's the only time I'm on there. But I am legitimately on there. And people every once in a while talk about the game, and then they're like, and then they come to the track that I wrote, and they're like, I never heard this one in the game. I'm like, you skip by it. You skip past it.
Did you know that I'm on IMDb now?
Really?
I didn't realize this until recently, but apparently because all these celebrities do podcasts, they now have podcasts on IMDb, and somebody, I don't even know, this is one of those weird things where in the middle of the night, somebody did it, and I have no idea where it came, but at least last I checked, now of course I'm going to say that, and the page probably got deleted for non-notability or something, but last I checked, we're on IMDb, so that made me giggle. I was like, oh, that's kind of fun, except now it needs to also credit my deleted scene in RuPaul's Drag Race season 4.
That's right.
So, you know, somebody needs to build out my profile over there.
Yeah, get an agent and they'll build it out for you. Because agents can do that, yeah. I did buy the Guinness book. It's kind of dark. You can't see it, but I have the Guinness book, the 2025 Guinness book.
There's been a couple people that have pointed that out. I know Pod Culture said something, and I think Dark Tetsuya had said something recently. And that just actually one of my Muggle friends that I don't even think listens to Orange Lounge Radio saw my Facebook post about it, and I think came across the book in a store or something because she just bought it. And she's like, I bought this because my friend Rob's in it and like tagged me with the photo and everything. And I was like, oh, that's really sweet. It's
And then I was also flipping and like a couple pages later is from where OLR is where GDQ is. And I'm like, I know that person and that person and that person. And then I know the person who took this picture and because they used a picture from AGDQ this year
for
Games Done Quick. So there's a whole page and it's like it's literally like four or five pages after the one you're on is about like the charity event that raised the most money or something. And it's basically all about GDQ.
Yeah. Hey, kudos to the Guinness editorial team for doing their work, even if they invented a new nickname for me somewhere along the way. Whatever.
Yep. Yeah. And Dark Tetsuya says Digital Eclipse is in there. Yes. Digital Eclipse is in there as well for Atari 50 being the first, you know, digital game library encyclopedia, something like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's all doing good stuff. But yes, I know Tetris Forever is not going to have Acid Tetris. It's not going to have Tengen Tetris either, because I know the list came out and they said, and I believe there's like bad blood, like the Tetris company doesn't like the Tengen Tetris version or something like that. And that's why it's
you
not
know, without that, I think they kind of did that. There's a whole mess with that.
There's a mess with it, and they're not going to. Yeah. Maybe they even talk about it. Maybe they'll talk about it in the documentary, but not. But I couldn't see them trying to license it for this because they don't like it all that much. And to be fair, Acid Tetris did not legally call itself Tetris, which is why it did have to change its name. So Acid Tetris is also known as Super Acid Block Attack. That's what it was rebranded to, so the Tetris company didn't sue the little freeware developers that made the game that had no money anyway. So we're also, like, and, you know, so I know, like, we're all joking about it and stuff, but, like, we were one of those, you know, that they were trying to go after because we illegally licensed the name, we used the trademark without permission and stuff like that. So we're not in their good, Acid Tetris is not in their good graces either.
Fair. But in all seriousness, where's Tetranet? That's the Tetris I remember from back in the day. The Tetris through the years or Tetris Time Warp.
Yeah, the
Let's
Time Warp.
The Time Warp
one.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That maybe looks, that's going to have some stuff from it.
Yeah.
Because also, like, what's Tetris Battle Gaiden.
When did that Rocky Horror game come out?
Did it come out yet?
It was supposed to be this month.
The month's not over.
Interesting. No, they just say October 2024, but we still don't know when. Just that's the release time frame.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, sorry for the live on air distraction, but I have questions. They need answers. Speaking of answers, of course, kudos to the Googling going on in chat. Tiger Claw found the IMDb bio where apparently I am Rob Roberts number 12.
All right.
Rob Roberts the 12th.
But that would have been better than V, right? You should have had that. You know, Rob Roberts the 12th.
Yeah, that's right. Petition to Guinness to change my nickname to Rob Roberts the 12th. Yeah. I love it. That's perfect. Yeah, it's better than V.
Tetris the Grandmaster would have been nice, but I believe Arika is working on a new one, and so that might have been Arika might have wanted too much money for their version of it. So you never know. Like, there's you never know.
Yeah.
And I believe aren't they selling the Grandmaster? Arika selling the Grandmaster separately already? Like on the
Arcade Archives has at least the first one. I think two of them are
that,
on Arcade.
That would be why. Yeah. Why would they also sell it in a collection when they're trying to sell it themselves? Why would they let Digital Eclipse sell the same thing they're trying to sell? It's just going to cannibalize their own sales. Whereas they can probably be like, "Hey, if you get the Tetris Forever." You can get our stuff, too, and have all of it, you know.
Why would Digital Eclipse put out Tempest 2000 twice?
Exactly. Well, because but that's also Atari's game, like Atari owns it.
Yes.
So what else are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight?
Let's talk about, okay, so a little bit of a slippery slope when we talk about leaks, especially when they were obtained through questionable means. But when the entire internet's talking about it, you gotta talk about what's going on in the Pokemon world and just this huge leak that has happened. It's really a hack. I feel weird calling it a leak when it's sort of like a... But the burglars came in the middle of the night and carved a hole in the wall. Is that really a leak? That's a theft. So the Pokemon Giga Theft results are coming out, and it's pretty interesting. But part of the reason I'm okay talking about it, we're not really spoiling the contents of the upcoming Pokemon games. Apparently, that's in there, but in this weird sort of ethics, suddenly they're not releasing that information. So they had the ethics to, or the lack of ethics to get the information, and then the ethics to not put out the information on the new stuff. Very strange, but okay.
If I put myself in their shoes and try to, you know, rationalize it, they still like, because they obviously wanted this information, so they apparently like Pokemon. But they don't want to damage what's coming out, but they feel that this should be stuff that should be archived and available. And so this is preservation, is preserving what they were what was being documented and not done in, like, say, X and Y and stuff like that. But they don't want to harm what's coming next because they want more Pokemon.
This is also a very good way to avoid the go directly to jail space and instead risk that maybe they'll end up in jail through the game's other mechanisms.
Yeah.
But they will not go directly to jail because putting out that information would have been landing on that space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully people understand my analogy. Let's see. What else are we going to talk about? Ooh, a sequel to a game that's really old, but really, well, not really old, but like 10 years old. It could have been a classic game of the week. In fact, I think it was recently, and is very popular. So we're going to talk about a surprise sequel for that. Very cool.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thank you, as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly. You can find me on social media at BobbyBlackWolf.com over on Blue Sky. That is my favorite social media network right now. You don't need an invite to get in there. Come join me on Blue Sky. That's where I try to post actual, like, conversational things, whereas other social media sites, especially the one that everybody's been using for a long time, I really just post like when I'm live and, you know, try to, you know, do that. I don't really, or maybe that's where I talk about sports and I don't put the sports stuff as much on Blue Sky. Thought you were going to get through a whole episode without me saying the sports word, did you, Pod Culture? So join me there. I may start posting some stuff, especially with the CDI, on like either TikTok or Instagram. I haven't figured out what I'm going to do. But there, I'm at Bobby Blackwolf at both places on there. You can also find me on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. So that is where you can find me during the week. But if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make this live show work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond and even triggered a hype train. Thank you so much for triggering the hype train tonight. We hit level one. We actually hit level two. We got to level two. So thank you so much for the hype train. But anyway, Pod Culture resubscribed. Thank you so much for that. Dark Tetsuya resubscribed, saying almost to 2 years plus a 30-month streak because Twitch math. Yes, it's Twitch math is weird. So, you know, there's like 45 months or 63 months is what it says, but they've been around longer than that. Thank you so much. SJNO Matt cheered 300 bits to trigger the hype train. Sean322 cheered 200 bits saying, hoip. Rob Roberts resubscribed. Thank you so much for that. Orange Wright cheered 200 bits with hype, and Dark Sakura resubscribed at tier 2 after the hype train, but thank you so much for that, and thank you for so much for the continued support that did get us to level 2 on the hype train, and everybody got some emotes in chat that participated in the hype train. So thank you so much for that. I'm going to go ahead and find the button that I need to hit to have the music come in. There it is. And I will see you next week, and hopefully by then I will have tested my CDI and gotten really frustrated at Wanda Gamelon. Good. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.